Morning. If you'll kind of look up at the ceiling this morning to start off, you'll notice a seemingly random pattern of lights. I'm not sure I've ever really been able to figure it out, and it's very difficult to count them because of that, too. But there's 48 of them in here. And we call them lights, but really, they're not very good lights. If you were trying to do a heating and air conditioning system, you'd look at them as heaters because that's really what they are. 99% of the power we apply to those things is heat. We give off 1% of light. And Thomas Edison got a lot of credit for that, but didn't do it too good. So we've tried in science to try to make it better and better. We haven't done much with it. We've got a couple of percent out of it maybe. And then we went to LEDs, light emitting diodes, semiconductors. Then their traffic lights are now big clusters of these LEDs, and we get a little higher percentage and they don't burn out quite as often, but we're still down there where we're generating lots more heat than we're getting light. And there's some work now going on with some very top scientists with organic solid state lighting and using organic materials. Now, I do have to admit I was a pioneer in using organic materials for light, because I remember as a boy seeing how many lightning bugs I could catch and cut off the little light part and put them in a jar. And you don't get much light that way, and pretty soon that light dies out without the lightning bug attached to it anymore. Now, I think bugs are immune to being considered a, you know, abuse type of a case. I always thought that was true. So I didn't turn out to be a mass murderer or anything, and I really never. It takes a lot of little lightning bug things to make any kind of a difference. That'd be aside, you can maybe tell from the songs we've sang and the reading that we're going to talk about being a light this morning and what it means to be a light and how we can be a better one, and how important a job is that in the Christian walk. But being a light, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, we read in 1 John the fourth chapter. The light that we're supposed to have comes from God through Jesus Christ and fills us. Okay, that's God's portion of this. I mean, there's a huge story there, obviously. But now, what are we supposed to do? One of the most well-known passages regarding light is Matthew, the fifth chapter, 14th through the 16th verses, where it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bush, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men." And why? "That they may see your good works." That's part of it. "So that they may see your good works," and what follows is, "glorify your Father which is in heaven." So that gives us a real key right there as to how our light's supposed to shine. First of all, they have to see our good works. But that's not enough just to say so-and-so's a nice guy or did something nice. But the purpose of our works is important here. So that when they see it, they glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let's go now to where the reading was in this 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. And we're going to look at the first 7 verses, because there's lots of little clues in this section. A very good read about what our function is here on earth. And I'm going to read parts of it again and stop and comment. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart, but rather we renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. But on the contrary," in this sentence, let's look at it closely, "on the contrary, by setting forth the truth, We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I've always kind of glanced over that one pretty quick. It just seemed like, okay, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. What are we even asked to do here? Commend ourselves, that means introduce favorably is the definition for that word. We are to have an influence on every man's conscience. So everybody out there has got this conscience, don't they? It's right and wrong. It was given to them, but it's misguided, isn't it? It's misdirected without being fed with the truth. So as we go out into the world, we're supposed to be interacting and stimulating other people's conscience, aren't we? Are we doing that? There's a key right there to how this process works. Commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, the God, lowercase God, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. What are those gods? Work. Buy stuff. Party. Work. Just self, self, self. Feed ourselves. The gods of this world. The ones with no other motives than self. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants. Okay, so we're out there to try to demonstrate that our motives are not self-serving. It's not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and we are to serve. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's what our light is. We have that knowledge of the glory. It's not us. We don't have the answers. We only have the answers through the knowledge of the glory of God. We're given that. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God gave us this gift, and we're just clay. I mean, that's physically what we are. Pretty fancy version of it. Just give him lots of credit, but we're just clay. But we're given this great gift and this great task. This is our job. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. And this is what God set up, being the light. So God's up above now, and he sent his son, and he gave us this gift to these people of clay down here. But he gave us a soul, and he gave us the spirit. And everything we need. And he wants to see that light being shined to others around us. So we are being watched. We are constantly being challenged by the world. Let's go to another scripture. Well, I'll just read it. It's just two verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Light is not mentioned in these two verses, but our duties certainly are. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. That's a tough one, isn't it? Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. To be a light, we have to be seen as a light, be seen as different. That's really not... That part of it shouldn't be too difficult, should it? If you look at the world and what the world sees as what they should be doing and what we see that the truth tells us that we should be doing, our speech, is it sound? Is it productive? Or we spend a lot of our time bad-mouthing the company, the people that are around you, trying to get higher in the company? There's a difference there, isn't there? Our activities... What we believe in as far as purity, as far as sexual activity, as far as marriage, as far as single partner, those kinds of concepts. The world is is full of people with other ideas. Do we stand up for our beliefs? Do we go to services, first of all? Do we go to services? If you on college campuses, less than 25% of the students attend services on Sunday morning. There's some problems there. Jeff says there's no traffic jams on Sunday morning if you're trying to go to church. Beliefs. When somebody says something and that it's wrong, do you challenge them or let them know what you think, even though there may be some scorn there? And do you spend time trying to help other people when it doesn't do you any good at all? As far as your standing with the company, is your time or your individual things that you might want to consider, you spend time with someone else. There's two other little supporting items that I think are important with being a light and improvements on proving ourselves on being a light. But I skipped one thing. What can be problems with our lights? Let's talk about our lights and where they may be lacking. Is our connection intermittent? Are we, hey, lights just when we feel like being like a light and then we're off at other times? Is our source of our light not God? You don't have to be a Christian to be to do something good, do you? I mean, there's people that are nice people. There's people that do good things that don't draw their energy from Jesus Christ and the truth in the Bible. But how long does that last? You could pick one of these lights and you could run it off a battery. It'll last for about 60 to 90 seconds if you could convert the power to the correct voltage, etc., etc. That's all the power that's in a battery. But we're hooked to a grid here. We can leave these things as long as we pay our bill, can't we? What are you hooked to and what are you drawn from when you're doing good? Because you're going to be pretty tired pretty quick if you're just trying to draw on your own goodness rather than God's goodness. You can't be hidden. We're told that. We don't have any lights in the attic. They're not hidden. The kids sing their song all the time ever since you were real little. Don't hide your light under a bushel. It doesn't do any good there. Or are you super inefficient like these lights? Is 99% of your energy used in self-heating and you use 1% of it to be a light? A couple other things to go along with this. It's important to be patient. When you're out in the world and you're working with people and you're doing things that are, you're trying to help, trying to make a difference, doesn't always catch just like that, does it? You can become weary. Psalms 37 and 7 reads, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil." Or in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So we need to be patient. And then we need to be ready. Because at some point, if you're lucky enough to be the one that's there or because of something you've done, 1 Peter 3 and 15 reads, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." And that's why we do it. So what can we do? We're going to leave here, and we're going to go back to work tomorrow, and we're going to go back to whatever it is we were doing. Maybe not work, maybe something else, but we're going to interact with the world the rest of the week. We want to do something. Think of something that you can do to make your life better. Is there someone that you haven't been treating well? Is there someone that has a problem but you just didn't want to get involved? Is there someone that you can do something for? Because that's what we want to do. We want to constantly improve the efficiency of this light that we've given so that we give off more light in a day than we used to give off in a day. That's maturity. That's growing as a Christian. We need to give off more light than we do. And you can tell that by the condition of the world today. We don't want to be like the light bulb in the ceiling and just heat ourselves up and make very little difference to everybody else. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and ask. Commend ourselves to every man's conscience. Make them think. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those in the household of God. Some people, everybody's heard. I mean, in the United States, everybody's heard of Christianity. I really don't think that you can say, walk up to anybody and say, have you heard of Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah, I've heard of Jesus Christ. But they really don't understand, do they? They don't know what he can do for you and how he can change your life. You want to know, they don't understand how things work. Like when Jerry was in the hospital. And you saw everybody come together. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. If you're not plugged into the grid and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the source of the light. You might burn bright for a little while, then the energy's gone because you don't have the source that's required. That's an invitation that we're offering to anyone that's here this morning, because we're offering the invitation. Jesus Christ is offering the invitation because there's a life changer right there. There's a difference in your life with and without it. There's a difference that people will see. There's a difference that you can feel. If there's anything that this group can do for you this morning, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.